Another deadline in the Stormont talks process. Monday is D-Day, or is it? What will the Secretary of State, Mr. Brogan-Shire, what will he be doing if there is no agreement between Sinn Féin and the DUP? Our political editor, Mark Devonport, with us this morning. Any sign, Mark, of a deal?
Not really at all, Stephen. The latest is that they're still talking at Stormont. We may get updates, I suppose, from them later on during the course of the day. But no sign whatsoever of a compromise on these stumbling blocks. Gerry Adams made a speech in Armagh last night. He was critical of both the British and Irish governments, said there were serious challenges in the talks, although he said that Sinn Féin was keen to restore the institutions. No sign, as I say, of any way to get there. And last night we had Ian Paisley saying to The View that not only did he not think that there could be a rabbit pulled out of the hat at the last minute, but that there wasn't even a hat to pull the rabbit out of.
And why is that the case, Mark? Because we heard a couple of weeks ago Brogan-Shire saying, in fact, it was the beginning of last week, if my memory serves me right, that there had been momentum the week before. So there must have been some type of hat.
Yes, it's hard to know. I mean, these negotiations have been kept very close between the DUP and Sinn Féin. Sometimes they're not even, it seems, sharing all the details with the governments, who are having to guess a little bit about what's going on. And it's all very well to have all these reports about the mood being better and people understanding each other's bottom lines better. But whilst they appear to be spending hour after hour in negotiations, we have yet to get any sense of a way around, particularly in relation to the Irish language bill, the stumbling block over whether there should be an umbrella culture bill, which is the DUP's chosen way forward, or whether there should be the separate standalone Irish language act, which is what Sinn Féin has been holding out for. And no sign really that despite all the lateral thinking that might be put into how you can create something which you could say, I can hardly believe it's not an Irish language act, as I think one scribe put it. No sign that anybody's come up with something that these two parties can buy.
What about the theory, Mark? And stress, it is a theory that some people are talking about, and Sinn Féin would say it's nonsense. But what about the theory that Sinn Féin do not currently want the deal because they would be happy to sit back and see what they see as the disastrous implications of Brexit being played out in Northern Ireland without them having their fingers on it? And being responsible for it.
Well, when I have surmised on the airwaves in the past that might be what's going on, I've had Sinn Féin spokespeople contact me and say, look, we do not say that. And I acknowledge that they haven't been saying that, but it seems to be there in the back of everyone's minds. And I will put it like this. If they were to get everything that they are looking for in relation to an Irish Language Act, same-sex marriage, a Bill of Rights and so on, I'm sure that they would go back and reconstitute the Stormont executive. But it may well be that because Brexit is going through and coming up with a compromise position with the DUP is extremely difficult, and because also we are probably continuing to go into a period of austerity in which Stormont budgets are pinched, that's a context in which maybe they're less keen to compromise on their bottom lines, red lines, whatever you want to call them, than would be the case otherwise. And certainly they have a plan B themselves, which is to continue to push for a border poll, continue to push that in the context of Brexit, a united Ireland becomes more feasible. And Gerry Adams has alluded to that on a number of occasions.
So what happens then if this deadline on Monday is missed? What does Brogan-Shire do next?
Well, he might have a tiny wee bit of wriggle room on the Monday. Remember that he did talk about the week beginning the Monday.
So another deadline that moves.
Yeah, well, I mean, just to give him his due, he talked about the week beginning, right? So say something doesn't happen on Monday, it still could well happen on Tuesday, but it seems unlikely. I think what we're looking at as the most likely scenario right now is that maybe come the middle of next week, he makes a statement saying, look, this phase of the talks is obviously not producing anything. I'm going to have to go ahead and set a budget. I suspect that when he actually sets that budget will be a bit later in November, because Westminster's taking a week off early in November. And he goes ahead. Is that direct rule as such? Some people say it is. I think he will say, no, it's not. And he'll continue to play out the talk scenario until maybe the end of the year, but certainly past the DUP and Sinn Féin conferences, which are also in November.
But if James Brokenshire passes that budget, how does it affect our listeners?
Well,
how does it affect ordinary lives in this country?
Well, on the upside, it means that stalwart departments can continue to run. The civil servants are saying, look, we actually will have real trouble and won't be able to continue to provide services, pay out monies and so on if we don't have that budget through. So the upside is that the wheels of government, albeit that they're run by civil servants and this isn't the way it's meant to be, that will continue to run. On the downside, potentially, you know, some may object to the size of the budget not being up to what they think in certain areas. There'll be a question mark as to whether that extra billion is factored into any allocation that he provides or whether we're still waiting on that until this elusive executive comes back. So that's all, you know, potentially on the downside. And then politically on the downside, obviously, if that's a stage towards direct rule, he will be worried that if he goes for full fact direct rule, then Sinn Féin might walk away and say, look, we're not coming back until there's a major renegotiation of all of this.
Why would Mr. Brokenshire give Northern Ireland the £1 billion? That would be the some of the leverage that he has to try to encourage these parties to get back into a deal gone.
Well, there's 10
so
good
why wouldn't he keep that in his back pocket?
10 good reasons for that, I suppose, and that's called the votes of the DUP, because, you know, the government is dependent on their votes. And so we're in this interesting scenario that normally, previously in talks processes, the big wad of cash has been kept as a carrot at the end. You do a deal, you'll get this big wad of cash. But the wad of cash has actually been offered for the DUP's votes. And if they don't deliver it in some way, shape or form, you could see that the DUP would say, hang on, this isn't what we bought into. And they might start cutting up a little bit more rough in Westminster than they have done thus far.
Yeah, but the Tories know that the DUP don't want Corbyn in government.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, I think that ultimately they'll probably have to deliver the money. Otherwise, they will be looked on as having negotiated very much in bad faith. There are probably middle stages. If they weren't delivering the money and if things were falling apart with the DUP, there are middle stages rather than simply putting Jeremy Corbyn in government. There could be more and more sort of embarrassing votes in Westminster that they can't win, slowly but surely undermining Theresa May before you actually get to that kind of nuclear option.
And in these type of situations, look, what Brokenshire is more than likely going to do is not bring anything. If we got to direct rule, they're not going to do anything too controversial, are they? Or would they threaten the prospect of things like water rates being brought into Northern Ireland?
Well,
and try to paint this picture of an English person making these decisions, which they know the Northern Ireland population will not like.
Well, that was certainly what Peter Hain did during the previous period of suspension, when he was saying, look, if you don't sign on the bottom line, you're going to get all of these kind of charges that we've got over in England. So far, James Brokenshire doesn't strike one as the sort of person who is going to be sort of wading in with both feet. And the fact that this Conservative government is dependent on DUP votes probably means that they would have to be more careful than if they were just standing with a big majority of their own. So it may well be that even if we go into direct rule, it will be a sort of softly, softly approach. The downside, I suppose, is it could just be a do-nothing approach, a kind of caretaker situation in which we have eventually direct rule ministers, but it's not a lot more dynamic than when we just have the civil servants.
And final question, Mark, if next week passes and there is no deal, do they continue to get their money?
I think they'll probably get their money for most of this year. He has said on a number of occasions, look, I'm going to do something, or I recognise I have to do something about the money, but I don't have the power to do that until I get to direct rule. So I think he'll keep on talking in that vein. And you've also got to bear in mind, you know, given his dependence or his government's dependence on the DUP, the DUP have a lot invested in not cutting those salaries at too early a stage. They probably recognise that ultimately they can't be seen to get something for nothing. But they have, in the past, argued against any early action in relation to this. And that's going to be echoing in James Brokenshire's ears, maybe even louder than the calls from the public in Northern Ireland for the money to be cut.
OK, Mark Davenport, thank you very much indeed.